You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And just like that, no undefeated teams remain in the 2022 NFL season. All it took to defeat the mighty Philadelphia Eagles was a run-in with the Washington Commanders. And maybe a run-in with the NFL live curse. I mean, I don't want to make it about us. We did all pick the Eagles. Whoops. RT, you would have picked them too, even though you weren't here.
I picked them in the morning.
That's right.
It made me think it was real.
I know.
It really did. This was the one that made me think it was real.
I've gotten over it. Now I'm a little worried. That's Marcus Spears. That's Dan Orlovsky. Dan thinks it's real, too. Mina Kimes is going to join us in a bit for a special conversation about a league-defining trend that you do not want to miss. We got the Green Boys over here, Money Green. But first, let's go back to Monday Night Football and tell you all about it.
Blue.
Jalen Hurts trying to remain undefeated at home, hosting the Commanders. Start of the fourth quarter, Eagles trail 23-14. Hurts finding Devontae Smith.
Yeah, really good job of realizing pressure, giving it to Devontae where the chance where he could turn and catch run.
They're making a comeback. The deficit now 23-21, under 10 minutes to play. Hurts, the short pass to Dallas Goedert. But he's hit from behind. The ball comes loose.
Might be a face mask.
They think they have a touchdown. Guys, look at this, though. What would you see here, Dan?
Well, a really good job by the Washington defense. First of all, retracing. That's not might be a face mask. Is. Missed call by the officials, but credit Washington. They chased after the football.
So the Commanders would convert the turnover into a field goal lead, 26-21, under 6 minutes to go now. Eagles still trailing. Birds wanting to go deep, connecting with Quez Watkins, making the diving catch, and Watkins gets up to run. But once again, the Commanders forcing these plays to happen, a huge swing in momentum as turnovers haunting the Eagles in this game. A minute 45 to play, 37 for Washington. Taylor Heinicke feeling the pressure coming, gives himself up. But Brandon Graham comes in late with the hit. Unnecessary roughness, that was the call. It's an automatic first down for the Commanders. We'll see it again. Heinicke taking the knee, giving himself up there. All right, nobody wants to talk about it. Let's see what Nick Sirianni had to say after this loss.
The right
first of the year for the Eagles.
Like, whether the calls were bad or whether the calls were good or whatever it was, I think when you play the way we did tonight, when you play the way we did on all three phases, you know, like offense, defense, special teams, coaching, right? When you play like that, it seems like everything's going against you. You create your own luck, and we played like crap, whether it was the right call or wrong call. And so we made our own luck today, and it was bad.
All right, so Sirianni not making any excuses, played like crap. Marcus, how were the Commanders, though, able to hand the Eagles their first loss of the season?
Stuck to their identity. I think outside of Terry McLaurin, the best part of this team is their run game with Robinson and Gipp. And then third down conversions. Mm-hmm. And I think it gets lost sometimes because we've seen so many explosive offenses that we don't understand. We get enamored with the big third downs late in games. But I think into the third quarter, the Commanders were 10 for 13 on third down. And they put themselves in favorable positions outside of some penalties that they had that put them behind the chains. And then Heinicke was able to make some throws and get them out of those situations.
Yeah.
The one thing, too, and I didn't have this earlier, Washington's effort. Like the way they played as a 4-5 football team, everything circling this team. You come in to Philly with an undefeated team.
They
everything
hard
going
for that coach and that
man, they played. The effort is the reason why some of those turnovers took place.
Yeah, I think the third down stuff you're speaking to is going to be a little bit more of a tentacle thing for the conversation we're about to have a little bit. You think what happened with Green Bay and Tampa Bay this weekend? Jordan Davis matters more than I ever anticipated for the Eagles defense. When he's on the field, they stopped the run at 3.9 yards per carry. When he's not, it's 5.1.
Wow.
That's the difference between the third run defense and the 29th. Last night, Washington did a really nice job of attacking their front with pullers. You know, they got guys in motion, double kick out, whether it was in the gun. Robinson just got up inside. Marcus, that's like first down, now 4 or 5 yard carry.
Five,
now I'm
7-6.
Here comes another puller. Where's that motion? Kick out, a little counter. Robinson's got really good feel for like setting those pullers and getting up inside of them. The gap scheme stuff was really good. This time we'll pull the backside guard and the backside tackle. Motion, there you go. So set that motion, get people flowing one way. and get back inside the other way. I think the thing, reason why Washington did it was it seemed like Philadelphia was really committed to run their five-man front, and that's a little bit better of a scheme to attack that five-man front, get the double teams
yep.
and kickouts. It was really impressive the way that they attacked that five-man grouping for Philly.
Well, I think when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, right, the sky could be falling. We were an undefeated team. We lost to a team that was below 500. But sometimes this is good. Firstly, I want to say it's very hard to win games in NFL, which is why Mercury Morris is popping the champagne, making whack raps right now, right? Because it's difficult to go undefeated.
Right.
But you look at this game and you think about the fact that Washington did hustle and create those turnovers, but you feel like those things are fixable. Right, A.J. Brown has the football, hit him right in his hands, and it pops into the defender's hands, and he makes a great play. So these are all things you're looking at and saying, okay, we can get in and work. The one thing you can't convince grown men of when they win is to feel like they lost. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to get on the finer, small, minute details of football when a guy feel like, man, we just keep winning. We just keep ending up in the right place. Now Nick Sirianni saying that they played like crap can go into the meeting today and say, we need to be better. We can be beaten at any time by anyone, and by not executing as we did last night, we were. If you want to win it all, we have to improve.
And maybe, to your point, this loss comes at a nice time in the season for them to really kind of get their focus back in.
That's what A.J. Brown said today. He was saying, I'm happy it happened.
I will say this real quickly. If the Washington Commanders play like that, that's a hard football team to beat.
Right.
Because they are physical at both of their lines of scrimmage.
I also don't think they can go to Carson Wentz. Tyler Heineke is earning that job.
Yeah, he needs to be the
guy. Come on.
You said it, Dan.
No need to even say it. If they go back to Carson, I already told y'all, bro, if you want your backup to play really good, hire Carson Wentz.
I'm so proud.
I know. Taylor Heineke.
Or if you want the entire team to play really hard for the backup,
apparently you need to get Carson Wentz.
Some major news out of Philly this afternoon is Dallas Goedert expected to miss extended time after injuring his shoulder on a missed face mask call in the fourth quarter. Mm. Dan, how big a deal is this?
This is massive. We're talking about a top five dude at the position this year. I mean, he's having an all-pro caliber season, especially, I mean, he's on track 75 catches, 1,000 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And if we think about Philadelphia, one, he's their best screen guy. Two, they are notorious for getting into that 3x0 formation. Trips to the field, him backside in that boundary, and every read, or more often than not, starts with him. Also in their zone read RPO game, that really does a good job at defining some of the stuff, man or zone. So this is a massive, massive loss moving forward for Philadelphia.
Goddard ranks second among tight ends in receiving yards this season, trailing only Travis Kelce. To put in perspective how impactful he is for this team.
He real deal.
More injury news I want to get you guys' take on here. We start with Washington, where sources tell our Adam Schefter that Chase Young expected to be activated and play this week. Of course, Young returning from a torn ACL and MCL last November. Marcus, with this addition, vault Washington back into the wild card picture for you. You're telling us that people don't want to see the Commanders.
I believe it will. This defensive line has decided to play together. You know, I was critical of them a year ago about playing too selfish and individualized. With Chase Young coming back, hopefully he's been able to take that time to see the game from a different perspective. And as long as he gets healthy, we know how dominant he can be off the edge. And he's a guy that you have to pay extra attention to. So John Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat jobs become easier because of him returning.
Man, that D-line. All right, to L.A. next, where wide receiver Cooper Kupp scheduled to undergo ankle surgery this week. Head coach Sean McVay says Kupp has been placed on IR, meaning he's going to miss a minimum of 4 weeks. Dan, does this officially end any hopes of a Rams playoff run?
Yeah, their season was done before this. They were getting that post-Super Bowl injury bug, similar to what Tampa Bay got last year. Let me be very clear. Matthew Stafford should not take another snap this season with Cooper Kupp out. There's no need to play him. They also lost two more offensive linemen today. That is 7 out of their starting or top 8 offensive linemen that are done for the season. Do not put that quarterback back there without that receiver.
That's too big of an investment. Interesting point. Bad news down in Miami this week as Dolphins defensive end Emmanuel Ogba will need surgery to repair a torn tricep. The injury will put Ogba out for the rest of the season. RC, how big a blow is this for this Dolphins defense?
I think it's a huge blow, but it's not as big of a blow when you have a guy like Bradley Chubb and you go out and make that acquisition at the trade deadline. But it is about depth, and Marcus understands this. When you look at the defensive line, it's about being able to run waves of guys at the offense and also having an opportunity to give guys spells so they can be the best at what they do in the most opportune time. When you look at his stats, he wasn't the guy that was lighting up the stat sheet, but he was someone who was steady, understood what his job was, and a player that could spell some of these stars on the all defensive line.
Yeah, especially fresh fresh legs. You think about a playoff run and who they're going to have to go up against potentially.
Absolutely.
Probably more impactful than we initially thought. We're just getting started here on NFL Live. You guys, Bucks former coach Bruce Arians has a pretty eye-opening assessment of the team's recent turnaround. Wait till you hear how the ghost Tom Brady fits into all of this. Plus, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers broke their losing streak with a win over Marcus's Cowboys Sunday. Sorry, Swagoo. RC says they may have unpacked a new role for the reigning MVP.
Okay,
look at these fits, all right? So, RC, what did you like last night out of Philly? You got Jalen Hurts in the magenta on magenta, or Devontae Smith, the autumnal palette. What's doing it for you?
Hey, man, these boys are cutting up. Listen, I like them both. These are two dudes that have been to the Heisman Finals. They understand the hype of fashion. And when you show up at the game like this, though, guys, you can't lose.
They got that Christmas suit on, though.
You showed up main event ready, and you fought like you was on the undercard.
We all got a Christmas suit.
Hey, the Christmas suit is fresh, though.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back on NFL Live, and as Marcus Spears astutely pointed out yesterday, Aaron Rodgers always plays the Cowboys tough. Seems that was certainly the case in Mike McCarthy's return to Lambeau Sunday. Rodgers and Christian Watson got a nice rhythm on his way to throwing 3 touchdowns. And getting back to more Rodgers-like ways. Sorry, I'm choking. All right, Rob Domofsky is joining us now. Rob, do the Packers think they can sustain the success they had against the Cowboys and carry it into this week beyond to save their season? I'm literally crying right now. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, don't use the word sustainable around Aaron Rodgers. He said today that it's all week to week and that you've got to find your identity throughout the season. Well, Laura, it's taken 11 weeks, but they might have finally found something. And for the first time all year, they've hit some deep shots against the Cowboys, enter Christian Watson, while also staying committed to the run with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And Rodgers was asked today if he saw that type of performance coming.
Not necessarily, no. I hope for a better performance for sure, but I think it was the first time we've got Christian really through a game and got him some opportunities, and then we ran the football really well. I thought our offensive line played great. I thought the pass protection was really good. We stuck with the run the entire game and it was effective. Even the fourth quarter, we had a bunch of runs that actually set up some of the game-winning plays for us in the passing game.
So is that sustainable? Those things you're talking about?
I don't know. I mean, sustainable has become one of those words that gets said a little bit too much, I think, this year. So I'm going to stay away from the sustainable.
It could change the way teams defend the Packers, though. I asked Christian Watson after he caught those deep balls, I asked him today if he expects changes in coverage, and he said, quote, they're going to have to cover the whole field, which will open up other guys. And Laura, speaking of other guys, they might get Randall Cobb back this week. He's been on injured reserve with an ankle injury, but he was talking today like there's a chance that he could go on Thursday night against the Titans here at Lambeau Field.
I love it, Rob. Thanks so much for joining us here on NFL Live. They're going to put me on injured reserve if I don't watch out. All right, let's get to RC here. Time to read and react. We're going to stay with Rodgers and the Packers. Green Bay had a clear game plan on Sunday. Run the ball,
utilized the play-action passing game off of that, and the Packers ran the ball on 62% of their plays, the highest rate in any game started by Aaron Rodgers in his career. Rodgers used play-action on nearly half of his dropbacks, which resulted in a season-high 148 passing yards when using play-action. RC, is this a winning formula, you think, for the Packers going forward?
You don't know if they can win constantly like this, but I know they'll lose if they don't do it. And this is what the Green Bay Packers have to be. Dan has been talking about this since the offseason. He did a whole form on getting under center, running the football, and getting into the play action pass. Finally, Matt LaFleur went back to his foundation, to his base, and there was pre-snap motion. He used jet sweep motion, and then he was able to get vertical with the run while drawing your eyes horizontally and let Aaron Rodgers push the football down the field. This team needs to be defense, running the ball, allow one of the best that's ever played to be the best when he needs to, not the entire game.
You know, I hate to admit it, but Dan kept telling us the Packers were going to be just fine. He might have been on to something, at least if they followed this formula.
207 damn yards.
What? Yeah. I know, crazy. All right, so let's talk about Tampa, where after losing three straight, Tom Brady and company seem to be back on track. They've won the last two. Brady's former coach and current Bucs senior advisor, Bruce Arians, was asked about the criticism of offensive coordinator Byron Leftwich during the three-game losing streak, said, quote, I don't think it was fair to Byron. Nobody is going to say that Tom Brady was playing bad, but he was playing bad. We also had growing pains and a young offensive front, and we weren't running well. There comes a time as a play caller when you're losing yards running the ball, and you say, forget this, I'm putting the ball in Tom's hands. It's interesting. Calling out Brady a little bit there, Swagoo. What do you make of Arians?
Who am I to argue with B.A.? But B.A., we going to argue today because you find another damn way to run the football. You go horizontal. You figure out different concepts and schemes with a young offensive line. Tom Brady has thrived his entire career off play action. That's why he's the GOAT. That's why he's been phenomenal at what he does. And I get it. I understand we want the ball in his hands because things are going wrong, and we've seen him deliver from time and time again. But ultimately, the reason why this team thrives and the only chance they have at a Super Bowl run is to find some semblance of the run game, to have that be effective enough for Tom Brady to be the GOAT that we've become accustomed to. Standing in the shotgun all day long, all game long, at 45 with a weak interior offensive line, that ain't going to get nothing done, B.A.
That's not going to do it. And you know it's a big GOAT when you spell out the GOAT, you know, just in case.
Can I jump on that real quick on the back
really
end?
Quick,
I want everyone at home to understand, it's not that the play action pass helps Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. It helps everybody else on the offense.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Okay. Let's go to Chicago. Now you get to do your thing, okay? You had a comment on that one, too. Each of the last 2 weeks, Justin Fields has done something that had never been done by any player in NFL history. Last week, he became the first player to throw for three touchdowns and run for 150 yards in the same game. And on Sunday, Fields became the first player to have at least two passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, and 100 rushing yards in a regular season game. It has been fun to watch with him. Where have you seen the biggest growth, though, from Fields over these last
quarterbacking
weeks?
Quarterbacking. And he's showing everybody that quarterbacking is coachable, and there's a difference between wanting to leave the pocket and having to leave the pocket. Perfect example against the Detroit Lions. Now, that is like your tackle box that we call the pocket, right? Watch Justin here. He gets into this moment right now. He's like, I want to leave the pocket. Now, he resets. I don't have to. Now I have to because Detroit has one on their blocks. Not only that, but look at his eyes. I talk about this every week with Justin, keeping his eyes downfield, points to Pringle, find that little soft spot in the area. So he goes through that process in play of wanting to leave, hanging in there versus needing to leave. Perfect example again. Justin normally or in the past would run from this pocket. Instead, he hangs in there for 4.5 seconds and finds a window in that zone to deliver the football. I've talked so many times about the mechanics for Justin. That has showed up. I've talked about it keeping eyes downfield. That has showed up. This time it's hanging in the pocket and not leading until you or leaving until you have to. Every single week, there's the coachable quarterback traits that start to show up. The athleticism, that's the uncoachable stuff. But the coachable stuff, he continues to check week after week after week. It's as encouraging a performance quarterback-wise as anybody in the league, maybe outside of Tua.
Yeah, no one's doubting this now. But, I mean, Bears, you got your quarterback for the very distant future. Anything else you want to comment on before we go? No? I'm never going to live that down. I don't even know what happened. All right, still to come, we discuss why the old school has become the new school with the return of the run game in the NFL. Hear why one of us thinks it has to do with the evolution of the D-line. We'll be right back. Como se siente ganar.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Snap to the face mask of Mahomes. Mahomes throws it late. He's got Justin Watson.
Steps up, fires.
Touchdown, Tyreek Hill. Perfect throw and catch.
Fires a deep one downfield looking for Gabe Davis. Makes the catch. He's going to sail into the end zone.
He is going deep for A.J. Brown, who leaps, comes down with the football. It's a touchdown.
So we are obviously in the era of the high-flying quarterback in the NFL, the talented quarterback in the NFL, but what's happening in the league isn't necessarily attached to their ability to throw the football. Really, the most dominant aspect of theme-wise going on in the NFL right now is return of the run game. Marcus Spears is going to love this one, so we're going to start here. Right now, league-wide average this season in 2022, yards per completion is at 11 yards. Look at this number for home. That's the lowest since 1933. We're talking 90 years. That's the first year they started playing playoff games. So every completion in the NFL is the lowest amount in 90 years. So what's that mean for the run game? Overall, the league is averaging 4.5 yards per carry. That's the highest in NFL history. Think about that. Completions are down. Run game, at least as average, is all the way up. So what's that doing? The league-wide scoring average is 21.8. That's the lowest in 13 seasons. What we're seeing right now in the NFL, even though these talent quarterbacks are wildly talented, is the importance of running the football, being committed to doing it well, and that's really shaping how well your football team can win and play games offensively, not how far the quarterback can throw the football.
So, Marcus, from the D-line perspective of this, as you hear Dan's offensive side, you know you love the run game, but how have D-lines affected what these offenses are doing?
You know, I go back to when you and I were covering SEC Network, and I had a conversation with Nick Saban about how differently he had to start recruiting because of the way offense was morphing into athletes in space. And quarterbacks getting the ball out of their hands quickly. And you had to have big, you had to have dudes that were athletic enough to pursue from behind. And you had to have long rangy linebackers in order to cover these tight ends who were now being ushered into offenses as being premier guys. As we still see with Travis Kelce and obviously talking about Goddard who just got injured. When I was even in the league, your D tackles were 350. They were space eaters. They were our job. Even when I was playing in a 3-4 with Bill Parcells, our job was to absorb offensive linemen so linebackers could run free, right? That was the way you stopped the run. Now, today, you got Aaron Donald playing D-tackle at 275, who can backdoor and is fast enough at times to get down the line of scrimmage to get a back on the ground. But, oh, when you miss – oof. It's a gap the size that you could drive a bus through. So now what we're seeing a part of this run game, one, you don't practice it enough. I've been telling you that. Two, you don't have the guys physically that can sustain 40 runs a game. They're just not built like that anymore. I.e., to your point, why do you think that when Jordan Davis is on the field for the Philadelphia Eagles, the run game is minuscule as opposed to him being out.
One of my notes was written down was, when was the last time a defensive tackle was come out in the draft or was really good and he was young and we called him a space eater? We don't talk to him.
Don't say it anymore.
It's can he get to the quarterback, right? Can he get to the quarterback? That was one of the things I wrote down. That's why teams offensively, we know that. That's why we're going to continue to attack you with the run because you don't have the guys that can stop it.
Absolutely.
Well, I think everything catches up, right, to what's the main thing. And when you are morphing offensively into these spread offenses and you're throwing the football around, now defenses morph as well. Right now, defensively, I don't want the defensive end. I don't want Reggie White. I don't want Michael Strahan. I want Von Miller. And that's why guys like T.J. Watt can be the defensive players of the year, because they're fast, because they're agile, because they can bend, because they're quick. And also think about the back end now. All we're teaching these kids is footwork. We're teaching these kids technique, right? Like, my son right now can coach in the NFL as a defensive backs coach, because that's all I've ever taught him, is how to play the position. And so now we're seeing the Patrick Surtain Juniors. We're seeing the Jalen Ramsey and these long, rangy guys who have technique, skill, athleticism, and you can minimize some of the great players on the outside. But what you can't do is now when you move inside and you say, you know what, it used to be I want Roy Williams, but now I got to get somebody that can roll down on the slot.
Absolutely.
Now I got to go get Quay Walker or a backer that can match up with the tight end. The one thing we used to praise in football was physicality. We no longer praise that. And so now when the offense says, oh, you've got this guy so he can run sideline to sideline, let's see if he want to get punched in the mouth.
RC, I totally agree. So I think one of the parts of this is that defenses have way more answers for coverage or the pass game.
Absolutely.
They got way more answers. We see the middle field open that we've talked about. We see the match coverage that we talked about. I look at it like this. Teams play so much nickel defense right now. Like 65% of the league lives in nickel when it comes to snaps. And the nickels that come into the NFL, their number one goal or ability is coverage.
Yeah.
Not like I grew up in the era, and this like Antoine Winfield.
Monster.
He was
a killer.
He was 50-50 though.
Yep.
He could cover,
he could hit,
and he could hit. Nowadays, when I want to get you as a defense into nickel, because I'll run right at you, because I know you might win one rep, but I want to see if you can play
over
35
over
run snaps as a nickelback, since you want to live in that.
Yep.
Let's get Mina Kimes in here. Mina, what do you see
in
the numbers?
Hey. Hi. Yeah, you know, my first thought was, okay, well, what is quarterback rushing production? How is that factoring into this?
Sure.
And it is a big part of the reason why rushing overall is up. But even when you take out quarterbacks, runs only by running backs are up on early downs. So my second reaction was, well, are they running into more light boxes? That's also a league-wide trend. And they weren't up as much. They're up a bit on early downs, but not as much as I thought. What has changed dramatically, and this is what I think is a pretty big factor, is the types of runs we are seeing on early downs. League-wide, so far this season, outside zone, inside zone are down, gap runs are up. And not only are they up, guys, they are way more productive on early downs. Look at those numbers on power and counter. And if you don't like yards per carry, success rate is also way up. To me, and I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this, I have to think this is a response to some of the changes defenses have been making. When Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and the Shanahan scheme became, you know, more popular in the NFL, you saw more defenses. We talked about this, leaning on those bare fronts, ways to stop zone runs. And as you guys know, the counterpunch, no pun intended,
is
gap run. So I'd like to hear if you think that this is a schematic change as well, and maybe offenses reacting to how defenses reacted to offenses.
It's both roster changes. It's also development. And it is about schemes. It's about the fact that now these teams have caught up to what Sean McVay and what some of these other, the Shanahans are doing, where you're using horizontal eye candy to attack us in different ways.
You're totally right.
And now that they've taken that away, right, what you've done is, I'm going to recruit, I'm going to develop, I'm going to draft players that can do this. And what the offense has said is, now we're going to make those players who have been trained their entire life
to go side to side,
come forward.
Right.
And that's not only in what they've been trained to do athletically, it's what they've been trained to do mentally and intellectually and technique-wise as far as skill, and they're taking advantage of that.
How difficult is it to make that change all of a sudden? I mean, offenses have done this adjustment. Defenses have to be like, what are we going to do?
Well, you're talking to the guy.
Yeah.
Because I played a 4-3 defensive end at LSU. The edge was already set by my alignment. Mm-hmm. I got to Dallas and we played a 3-4. And to Mina's point, guess what scheme gave us the most problems?
Yep.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, zone?
Because it was so rare.
Because now your technique,
we were
your
built
alignment
to play power encounters. That's
take
what we
on
practiced
blocks
all the time.
Yeah.
Take on blocks, big physical. I tell y'all all the time the story. Larry Allen and Flozell Adams was the first guys that I had to play against when I was in the NFL. Everything was coming at you.
Right.
That's why there were defensive ends, to your point, what you said earlier, 280, 290.
Yeah.
Now you got Vaughn and D-Ware who started playing it at 265, 245. So, D.O., to that point, and I love what Mina just showed. because powers and counters were the two plays in the NFL when I started.
If you could not stop it,
you were going to lose the game.
Yeah. The physicality.
I'll tell you a point about Jordan Davis. Here's what's
sad.
Only reason we like Jordan Davis is because he can do little people things.
Yeah.
Mm. He is a space eater.
Right.
But you pick him because we watch him do little people stuff.
Yeah.
Mina.
Yeah, Marcus, I actually went back and looked at the last 10 years. Power has never been more efficient than it is right now in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's wild how productive it is.
So, MK, I find the fact that you found that stuff fascinating, candidly.
She's like smarter than everybody.
Yeah.
And then the greatest researcher.
The numbers are from PFF, too. So, thanks to them.
I think there's a couple reasons. So remember the rule change. Part of this is the rule change with the zone scheme that they no longer can cut the backside of guys.
Yep.
So that minimizes the use of it. You're exactly right with the motion because I'm making you look at something this way and then I got a puller coming back that way. I think the size of the defensive tackle's got to take on double teams. Like they don't rep 330 taking a double team on anymore because of that. I think the spread of our offenses has helped us a little bit, the RPO game. Because if you watch the RPO game, I meet with these college coaches every week as well. The thing that they say all the time, force the handoff.
Yes.
Force the handoff. Slow to go. So there's so many elements that are coming into the NFL world when you look at it, that is benefiting us.
Two examples.
More capable and willing
culture
to run the
change,
ball.
Culture though, too, y'all. Like, the culture of football is different.
Isn't that
they wanted to put Andre Sisco in jail this weekend.
For that hit on Jesus.
For the way that he was hitting.
And it was glorified.
It was praise when I was growing up.
But I'm interested that the scoring is down. Even with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts and these superstar talents at quarterback, it's almost like these defenses are
saying,
take
this year what we've been saying, right? We talked about Dallas rabbit package.
Yeah.
You don't want to get in third down. Why?
Right.
All athletes. All those guys are defensive ends and linebackers.
Yeah.
We talked about when we were getting ready for the Dallas game. What did you say? I'd run right at Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Since when you heard somebody say, I'll run right at Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
and
the other thing is this. For as great as Aaron Donald has been, I had this conversation with Warren Sapp, and me and Sapp, I love the dude, but we go tit for tat because I think AD is the greatest defensive tackle to ever play. And Sapp said, yeah, but I wonder if he ever lying down and played 35 double teams in one game.
Mm.
Mm.
That's fair.
Yeah, good
That's
point.
Fair. So guys are being judged very differently based on what is happening and transpired offensively in this league.
It's a different game to all of our points, even though this is a bit of a throwback conversation. So, Mina, to that point, to finish us off here, which teams are really doing this well as we talk about the return of the running game?
Dan, you're going to love this. Who do we associate outside zone with? Kyle Shanahan, they're a gap team now. And Dallas, by the way. Dallas is a very diverse run scheme. Yeah, I knew Dan was...
Dan is showing you his notes. By the way, the top three teams in terms of most yards per rush this season are the Bears, Ravens, and Bills. The leading rusher for each of those teams, by the way, is the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you think about what's working well... This was really interesting, guys. Thanks, Mina, for joining us on a special conversation. Up next, it's Touchscreen Tuesday with Dan and RC. They show us how the Packers' defense was able to mess with the Cowboys to come up with some takeaways. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Let's get that going in a commercial break. I feel like there's more.
Yeah, that's literally San Francisco was the team that jumped out. It was like, oh, there's one zone anymore. They pull people all the time nowadays.
And even, too, we had a play that reminded me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Touchscreen Tuesday!
Hey, everybody, touchscreen Tuesday. They don't even have to bring it in anymore because we already know what we want to do. Now, America's team wasn't necessarily America's offense this weekend. And Dan said early on Get Up, he said, Dak Prescott has to be better than the superstar quarterback. Well, sometimes Dak Prescott has to beat the defense. And what the Green Bay Packers did to him was lie, lie, lie.
And you know me, like RC, I like to let everybody see the clip beforehand. This is that second interception. The first red zone one, I honestly think is going to be on that tight end mm-hmm. and wide receiver in the slot. The second one is everything. So CeeDee Lamb is in the slot right here. Now, CeeDee Lamb's rule is he's got what we call a middle read, okay? We could say it this way. Number, if there's a one high safety or middle field close, he's going to run a seam. If there's two safety, he's going to take that seam, push vertical, and run an in route. Now, as he gets off the line of scrimmage.
Hold on one second, Devin. Here's what you want to do. You want to make CeeDee Lamb read this as he leaves. If you run it back to the beginning, we're going to have a safety here that looks like he can go middle of the field or he can go to the half. So you have to read that on the run. This could be a combo coverage right now with those two safeties where it's four. He can make sure that they're comboing these two guys. And now Jaire Alexander is out of the play because we're expecting press or man-to-man on the outside.
So a lot of muddy coverage. Now, traditionally, RC, when you come off the line of scrimmage, you tell these guys, find those safeties. Yep. What's happening is this safety's going back and this safety's going back. So initially, you're like, CD, see cover two. Mm. See that middle field open? That's going to be running that in route. But everything happens off this guy forward. Now, if we want to call this traditional Tampa 2, the reality is that he would start down here and then get back to the middle of the field. What happens is he starts high and kind of hangs high. And as you see CeeDee Lamb get
so
vertical.
So what this is, though, this is what Tyrann Mathieu and the Kansas City Chiefs begin to do under Steve Spagnuolo. You want the athletic guy who's now working top level down instead of having a backer who is running with his back turned to the quarterback because we see so often the ball float over his head and be able to split the safeties.
In reality, is this. To right now with those traditional safeties, that is Tampa 2. And you would tell CeeDee Lamb, run your in route. But he comes up vertical and he's finding this guy who's right in the middle of the field.
Yep.
Safety-wise, you go, well, am I running a seam? Am I crossing his face? And there's the confusion that happens between him and Dak Prescott.
Well, also, here's what helps, though. The way that this safety here, the way that Savage got out of the middle and also his depth doesn't allow CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott to know exactly what coverage they're getting.
He's that traditional or pre-aligned Tampa 2 Mike linebacker. If everyone at home thinks Brian Urlacher, he would start low and run with that guy. This time Green Bay starts him high and makes CeeDee think, man, is that a safety in the middle field? He's not a linebacker position-wise, even though there's two high safeties, totally confused both him and the quarterback.
Early on, we taught you the counterpunch to what everybody is doing defensively by getting backers and DBs and linemen that can go sideline to sideline. Here's the counterpunch to what offenses are doing. You want to spread me out? You want to push in between the two safeties? Well, I'll put an athlete there who's seeing top down instead of a non-athlete who's running with his back turned to the quarterback.
That's a great,
great
point,
play by Green Bay. Dallas, you better get in the lab.
Oh, let's continue on with the Cowboys.
That's
guys, all this talk about where Odell Beckham Jr. is going to go. The Cowboys right in the thick of that. Not that they don't want another receiver, but, man, CeeDee Lamb's been great. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones made his weekly radio appearance, asked about Lamb's performance, and said this about an addition.
And, man, is that encouraging to see him playing at that particular level. CeeDee Lamb, for instance, had the best game that I've ever seen him play.
Does CeeDee's performance alter your thinking or change your mind about Odell Beckham?
I don't think so. A talent like Beckham is additive. Just stacks on top.
So the hype for OBJ continues. Jerry, at this point, just sign the guy. Anyway, is Jerry right here, Marcus?
He is absolutely right. We saw the Los Angeles Rams with the best wide receiver in Cooper Kupp last year still go out and get Odell Beckham Jr., and we saw it pay dividends when they got not only to the playoffs, into the playoffs, but all the way through the Super Bowl before the unfortunate ACL injury. Look, you can't have too much. We're still in an era where dominant receivers matter. That era has always mattered when it comes to football, and to have two guys opposite that a defense has to make a decision on as far as how they'll cover, how they'll use their safety, I think OBJ would be a home run for the Dallas Cowboys, and he would absolutely make this offense better in the run and pass game.
Yeah, CeeDee said he'd be all good for it, too. It makes sense because CeeDee Lamb's accounted for 32% of the Cowboys' targets this season. That's the highest rate by any player in the NFL. He's like, sure, come on over. Take some pressure off of me.
Get the deal done, man.
Let's do it. All right, next, the Raiders dropped their seventh game of the season. Derek Carr couldn't hold back his disappointment. I know he's not supposed to, but RC's going to tell us what's happening in Vegas. Ooh, we'll be right back. The NFL returns to Mexico with our Week 11 Monday Night Football matchup. The 49ers taking on the Cardinals. 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6.
But with 52 seconds to go, this is the ball game. It's 4th and 7 for Derek Carr. Colts bring a blitz. Off his back foot. Lobs for the end zone for Adams. Knocked away. No flag.
You know, I'm sorry.
Mistakes as usual. You gotta have everybody on the same wavelength.
I wish everybody in that room felt the same way about this place. And as a leader, that pisses me off.
Sunday's supposed to be fun, and that's the least fun day of the week right now.
Well, that was the latest in a series of close losses for the Raiders this season. The Raiders have played 6 games that were decided by one score this year. They've lost all of them, and Las Vegas is the only team that is winless in that scenario. This is a significant decline from last season when the Raiders were 7-2 in one-score games, tied for the second-best record in the NFL. So despite those struggles, head coach Josh McDaniels still has full support from Raiders owner Mark Davis, who told ESPN, quote, "People in today's world want instant gratification. The guys coached 9 games. We're 2-7. Not the results we're looking for, but at the same time, we've lost 6 one-score games with the ball and a chance to win at the end. Yes, the music sets the tone." He went on to say, "Rome wasn't built in a day." All right, a lot to unpack here. Marcus, where does the blame lie in your mind? This is not a funny conversation, but your face.
Yo, like, first of all, okay, I get it. It mean a lot to guys, all right? And I'm supposed to be going a completely different way. Man, Derek Carr, go back to the locker room, bro. Like, what people lose in this league, and we all have been through it. Dan didn't win a game his whole career in the NFL.
Whoa!
In the NFL.
And, sorry, Dan.
But here's, on a serious note, though.
Just because of like,
last year, you guys know, I called Derek Carr Johnny Cash, and I talked about his leadership.
Yeah.
And talked about the thing. I like the guy. I really do.
Right.
But that right there, everybody go through stuff with their
body. You're
talking
about the
everybody
tears and the emotion.
Work. I get it. Like, I get that you upset. I get that you angry. But this league is about doing something about it. All right, that's really what it boils down to. How many times have we heard, "What have you done for me lately?" That's the NFL. We've seen guys have success, fall off the next year, and be forgotten about.
So what's gone wrong?
So I looked at the last 4 plays of this game, okay? And I point a lot of this to Josh McDaniels. I look at the last 4 plays of this game. Now, y'all tell me. This is a screen to Josh Jacobs.
They ran it on second
this
down.
This is a run to Josh Jacobs. This is a pass across the middle to Foster Moreau. And then the last play of the game, when you need to score, you throw to Devontae Adams. What are you paying him $100 million for?
That's bad.
Why would you go get him, of all people, with the game on the line, and you throw one pass to him in the last 4 plays of regulation? Are you kidding me? So Gilmore stands over Devontae Adams after the game over, and we all got respect for Stephon Gilmore. I want to see him do it 4 times, or at least 2, right? So we have these conversations about the Raiders. We talk about their talent. We know what the injuries are. That's not telling me you trying to win.
Yeah. But I'm going to say this. At some point, we also have to point the finger at Josh McDaniels. I understand it was Derek Carr's post-game interview, and that kind of has sparked this conversation, but we're talking about a team who loses a coach to one of the biggest scandals in NFL history. We're talking about a team who had to deal with the Henry Ruggs situation, which was an extreme tragedy. And that team makes the playoffs with a special teams coach that has never led a team. We watched Josh McDaniels fail in Denver. We watched Josh McDaniels take a job, leave a job, get his old job back. People don't normally fail up, but Josh McDaniels has seemed to. This is a team that had a locker room that was together enough under Coach Bisaccia.
Yep.
And I'm going to say this about Mark Davis, who is sticking by his coach. Clearly, outcome, success doesn't matter to you. But I'm going to tell you like this. Do not stick by Josh McDaniels as he continues to mess it up the way you have stuck by your barber. When you think about this team, think about where they were last year when it ended and where you are now in one score games this season. That's about coaching. That's about preparation. That is about execution. This team seemed to be able to do it last year. Why can't they now? You guys,
the barber comment. You guys get some good jokes in there.
So, like, when I watched the press conference, I went and rewatched the game again this morning because I expected to see a lack of effort. The way that Derek is, like, intimating that guys aren't maybe playing as hard as they can or giving everything, that's not what shows up on tape. I don't think there is an effort issue. There's a productivity issue. The reality is this. Their defense isn't good. Their offensive line can't protect. They don't move Devontae around enough. Derek's not playing on time that well. So there's a lot of on-the-field issues. But there has to be some type of disconnect between the head coach and the players right now. There's healthy scratches. There's guys like Darren Waller that are on IR basically the whole season. Mm. Hunter Renfro is sitting out. These guys were healthy at some point, and now they're not playing.
The other part is this, though. Like, it's about how you approach these people. We watch Coach Bisaccia approach these people, treat these people, and treat these players in a way that made them want to go out and play.
There's
we know
there.
These dudes can do it.
I got to get this from you. Even Derek Carr looked unsure of himself.
For sure.
How does that happen?
He was late throwing comebacks this week. I'd
and
never
how
seen
does that
late.
Happen when you I add Devontae
I heard it's extremely
Adams.
Difficult to learn this scheme because of the wording. I did hear that.
We got to go
interesting.
Off.
We will right, continue y'all. Keeping an eye on this, and we'll tell you what we think.
We want
time for one more thing before we go. And for that, we check in on Swagoo's belt.
Hold on. Out
in the middle of the show.
I ain't do it.
Break. What happened here, Marcus?
You said
where's
your
the
belt?
Belt? Here's the belt.
Yo, America, so y'all know, he said, first of all, your belt looked like one of the power lines that hang on the street.
Them damn Rice Krispies.
Tell him about the sound
yo, you said your belt was too loose. That's why.
No,
bro,
no,
I was tightening the belt, bro.
Your belt was like a power the line.
I was tightening the belt, America, and it popped off.
Yo, we have all been there.
He has been intermittent fasting. The belt was too loose. And he tried to rectify the problem and pop.